whenever we come to Madhuban, it's like digging into the mine to discover more and more and more treasures. That is how Baba makes us the master of unlimited treasures. So what I wanted to share with you this morning is something connected with today's blessing and slogan particularly. Some of you who came later, you may not have heard Baba's blessings for today. Baba said, to become liberated from labor by being the embodiment of all attainments. And for that, Baba has given us three relationships: father, teacher, and Sadguru. Or, as Baba said, bestower, bestower of fortune, and bestower of blessings. By using Baba in these three relationships and the attainment that we receive from each relationship, we automatically make ourselves full of all attainments. There is nothing left that we want to attain in our life anymore. Now, as father, Baba gives us inheritance. As teacher, Baba gives us the jewels of knowledge, imperishable jewels of knowledge. And as Sadguru, Baba bestows blessings in the form of elevated directions. So if I can't make any effort, if I can just keep the attention to receive what Baba is giving, that will automatically make me into a bestower. You know, many times we wonder, when Baba talks about inheritance and blessing, Baba is the father, he gives inheritance. Baba also gives blessings. So does he give inheritance and blessings at the same time, or does he give inheritance at a separate time and blessings at a separate time? Or we say that blessings are merged in the inheritance itself. If it is so, then how? Of course, as father, the inheritance that I receive from Baba is Baba's qualities of peace, of love, of happiness. So as father, Baba gives us his qualities in the form of inheritance. But at the same time, as teacher, Baba gives us the knowledge, which is in the form of inheritance too. But it is up to me, it is up to each one of us, how we transform that inheritance into blessings. How can we do that? How can I transform inheritance into blessings? When I use the inheritance, the knowledge that Baba gives me in the right way, at the right time, in right proportion. Whatever inheritance I receive from Baba, when I use it, when I put it into action, the right point of knowledge, the right virtue, the right power, at the right time, in the right proportion, that becomes my blessing. It's not that Baba will come and give me blessings by putting his hand on my head and say, may you be blessed. And Baba says he doesn't do that. So this is why in using the inheritance, we become number wise. in receiving, it is not number wise. Even Baba doesn't give it number wise. He give to all of us equally. But we become number wise in transforming that inheritance as ours and then use it at the right time. That is why Baba uses the word number wise. So which is the one important instrument which is very useful for us in this Brahmin life that helps us to transform inheritance into blessings? And that device is a very subtle device. It's intellect. It's the intellect that is very important, that absorbs the inheritance, and it is the intellect that discerns what to use, how much to use, how to use, and when to use. And that is why I always feel that we have to really take care of our intellect. It is the greatest asset in this Brahmin life. Because if intellect is affected due to anything, if the intellect is influenced by anything, it does not work precisely. Say for example, Baba asked us to use tolerance, so we will think of using tolerance after the situation has passed. Then we start wondering, oh, I should have been a little bit more tolerant. But the situation has already passed. So I did not make my inheritance into blessing. Because if I am transforming inheritance into blessings in my life, I will have two main qualities that people can see very easily. And that is why they will use the word, you are a blessed soul. You know, they don't feel that you are making effort, means you are laboring for anything. You know, because when you are using the blessings practically into your life, you will be having two signs which are very clear that will give the experience to others that you are blessed by God, but you also become bestower of blessings as you are using the inheritance into blessings. So the two signs that are very obvious is, one is you will not feel anything difficult. Maybe in my Ajnani life I would have felt something difficult, but nothing is difficult for a blessed soul. Nothing is difficult for the one who is using the inheritance as blessing. And secondly, there is no burden, heaviness. That is why in today's slogan, Baba mentioned this. The greatest personality is to have lightness and the depth, subtlety of the intellect. So these two are connected, in fact. Because what makes me a great personality is how I used my intellect. Lightness in my intellect, no burden. And the depth means subtlety. So that I am able to understand the situation. I am able to know what I need to do and do it at the right time. So this is why I was asking, what is that device? What is that instrument that we use very often to transform inheritance into blessing? And that is our intellect. So if my intellect is clean, if my intellect is clear, I am able to see the situation as it is. Then I am able to get the touching. I am able to have the right intuition that this is what I need to use at this time. So that is the main effort we have to make, subtle effort, to go in first numbers, even though we have come last. You know, many times Baba says, even though you have come last, you can make fast effort and take first numbers. And this is how the numbers go in front. You keep on claiming more numbers in your effort on the basis of how much you are using the knowledge into wisdom at the right time, in the right way, at the right proportion. That pushes me forward, nothing else. You know, if you look at in the yagya also, in the beginning 300, 400 people came. Everybody heard the same knowledge. But then only handful were able to use it in the right way as Baba wanted them to use. And so now they are in the front numbers, we can see. No matter when, whatever situation they may be in, but you can see this very clear. So this is why always consider your intellect as really a greatest asset, property that I must really take care of. So what it means that I should not allow my intellect to get influenced or get impressed or suppressed. This is what Dadi was saying in one of the classes a few months ago. Because these three things actually damage my intellect. If you get influenced, influenced can be in two ways. Sometimes we get attracted towards someone. Sometimes we get repulsion, distaste or hate or, you know, that kind of negative feeling. So that is also a form of influence that doesn't allow the clarity. And of course, impressed is lack of self-respect. So when if get impressed by someone, I have bowed to that person through my intellect. So I have lost my power of discrimination. And that is why you can see very clearly those souls who get impressed by others, they will be doing what that person is doing without even thinking. They will be just following the shadow of the person about whom they are impressed. The intellect is totally locked. You know, sometimes even if someone tells them, they don't understand. Because if at that time, if I can take the teachings given to me, I can save myself. But if not, I will just lose my power of discrimination. And the third thing, suppressing my intellect is a great damage. Because if someone keep on suppressing the intellect, what happens is my conscience is actually, you know, in a way, it's damaged because I am not listening to my conscience anymore by suppressing myself. So there is no need to suppress. But that does not mean that I express in a wrong way to the wrong people at the wrong place. I have to express. This is why Baba says, when idea come to you, when thought comes to you, you can express your thought as a master, but then don't insist on it. Because then that becomes ego of the intellect. Because Baba can give touchings to anybody, you know. Even small child, some new ones, old ones. So to share the thought idea as God's touching, that is okay. But then I leave it. Then I don't insist on it. Because if I'm insisting that should be done, then I develop the ego of intellect. Again, it is a damage. Then I always feel that whatever I said, it is not being done. And so I will always feel a feeling of choking, you know. Next time I don't want to express anything. So the three things that damage the intellect is influence, suppressed or impressed. And this is due to lack of purity. Purity of the mind, in fact, brings divinity of the intellect. So when Baba spoke today, I was thinking, you know, subtlety of the intellect is actually refers to the divine intellect. Because what kind of intellect can be subtle? Only a divine intellect. When there is divinity in my intellect, I can say my intellect is subtle. What it means to have divine intellect? How do I know I have divinity? My intellect is divine. So, whichever intellect is divine, a divine intellect cannot have duality. If there is duality in my intellect, like, you know, sometimes we will be having conflict in our intellect. I want to do this, I don't want to do this. My conscious mind, subconscious mind is creating a conflict. There is a battle. The duality clearly shows that there is lack of purity in my mind. So the more purity I have in my mind, the more divinity I can develop. So when there is no duality, my mind and intellect can work together. So the definition of having spirituality in personality, purity of the mind plus divinity of the intellect is equal to spirituality in personality. What it otherwise it means to have spiritual personality? I cannot say, you know, I have spiritual personality when there is, you know, mind is not pure, intellect is not having that divinity, there is no spirituality. So this is why I have to make sure that I do not have duality. And in order to avoid the duality, Baba had made it very easy for us. Just follow Srimat. See, Manmat and Parmat creates duality. We all have experience, isn't it? In the past, from the Copper Age onwards, we have been following Manmat and Parmat, dictates of our mind and dictates of other people's mind. It has always created friction. And now from experience, we have to make sure that we follow Srimat. So if my intellect is constantly fed with Srimat, which is actually the food for the intellect, my intellect is divine. My intellect becomes subtle. Because the one who gives advice is the intellect of all the intellectuals. Baba is the wisdom of the wise. So when my intellect follows that wisdom, I will become a wise person, not an intellectual. So who is called a wise person? Wisdom is when there is the balance between the head and the heart. Now there is a conflict between the head and the heart. And that is why there is lack of divinity. Heart is saying one thing, head is saying another thing. But when I follow Srimad, I am able to bring my head and heart together. And that is when I can say that now I am totally enlightened. You know, a soul is totally enlightened when the head and the heart are in marriage. That means they are balanced. There is no conflict. They are working in harmony. So this is why I was saying that we have to really take care of our intellect. What we feed our intellect you know, what kind of company we give to the intellect, where we allow the intellect to go. We have to really care, you know, we have to really have that concern. Because so far, because I am body conscious, I was body conscious, I have allowed that freedom. So this is why Baba says, before you feed any thought to your intellect, thought is the food for the intellect. So before you feed any thought, check, is this worthy to be fed? Otherwise, what happens? If I just swallow any thought that comes, it makes me unconscious. To become, you know, ignorant of soul consciousness is to become unconscious. So if I have fed the wrong thought to my intellect, the intellect becomes gross. Moti buddhi, no? Gross intellect. And the gross intellect cannot have the power of discerning, cannot have the power of discrimination of the right and the wrong. So once I take care of the food that I feed to my intellect and the company, because it is intellect that keeps the company. Now we talk about satsang, company of the truth. Bad company and good company, it is not the physical, but it is the company of the intellect. So when Baba says that you must keep the company, how do we keep the company of Baba? It is not physical, isn't it? It is not like you feel like you are walking with a point of light. But company of the intellect. So who is in my intellect? So if Baba is in my intellect, what will happen? My intellect becomes plain intellect. So subtle intellect is a plain intellect. And that is why it is deep. So don't misunderstand plain intellect to be blank intellect. Blank is different from plain. You know, you say blank paper or you say plain paper. Blank means nothing. When we say blank intellect means it's empty. But when I say plain intellect, which means there is one Baba and none other. So when I have the company of Baba in my intellect, automatically I am following Baba's direction. So many times Baba says you must hold Baba's hand and you must keep Baba's company. So holding the hand is following Srimad and keeping the company of the intellect. If Baba is in your intellect, you will definitely follow Baba Srimad. If you have somebody else in your intellect, you will ask them. See, this is why whenever any situation comes into our life, you must check, you can understand very clearly who is in your intellect at that time. If it is Baba in your intellect, immediately you go and sit with Baba. No matter how serious the situation may be, you won't think of any human being, I should call this person and find out what I can do, or I should call for this help. Because after you have connected yourself with Baba, then Baba will give you the touching what you need to do. So that shows that first hand, you are holding Baba's hand and you are in company of Baba. So we have to make sure we feed the right type of food to the intellect, we keep the right company, and we follow Baba Srimad so that my intellect becomes clean and clear. Because until my intellect is clean and clear, I cannot see things as they are. You know, when the intellect is influenced, you know, sometimes as we say, when you have attachment with somebody, so you will always take their side, isn't it? Even if they are making mistakes, you hide their mistakes. You highlight their good qualities. Why? Because when my intellect is attached to someone, it is not having right power of discrimination. I am not impartial in my judgment. There is prejudices and there is bias in my judgment. But if I have love, if my intellect is clean, I would not take sides. I make judgment as it is. So this is why every now and then, I have to make sure that the intellect doesn't get contaminated by anything outside. No, once I remember Baba said, sometimes dirt from outside comes in the form of dust. Dirt, rubbish, and covers the intellect. And so when we are in need of using it, we cannot see clearly. So what is the dust that covers our intellect sometimes that doesn't allow me to discern properly? It comes in the form of having waste thoughts about others or having waste vision towards others. So that is also a form of a dirt that makes my intellect unclear. So this is why I have to keep away from these things. You know, when I take care of my intellect, I make sure that I keep away from these things so that I don't allow the dirt, I don't allow the wrong company, I don't allow parmat, dictates of others. Then whatever I think, whatever I do becomes the same. So it is the intellect actually that helps me to discern what point I need to use now, what virtue, what power I need to use at this time. And when I use it, when I'm using it, actually it becomes a blessing for others. You are not giving blessings calling them. You are not donating power and virtues by asking them to come to you. But when you are using the inheritance in the right way, you are transforming the inheritance into blessing. At the same time, you are donating power and virtues to others. And that is why it is always said, the more you give, the more it increases in yourself, it will never decrease. You know, Mahatma Gandhi once said that the one who don't give, they don't have. And the one who give, they always multiply what they have. And so this is really practical. So what I need to do every day after listening to the Murli, during the day, I need to check how many blessings I have collected today. That means how many times I used the Murli points that Baba gave me this morning in action at the right time. And you will see impossible becomes possible. Difficulties becomes easy when I have used it as a blessing. You understand? It's not like when Baba says today's Murli blessing, that is the only blessing. Actually, that is also versions of Baba, isn't it? It is extracted from the Avyakta Murli. So, don't consider only that is the blessing for today, but the whole Murli is blessing. I remember 1 year Avyakta Baba did not come. No? One year Avyak Baba came, but he did not meet us personally. Because that was the first year. It was a new thing for us. It was very difficult to accept it. Because we were used to go and sit in front of Baba and then get personal blessings. And so this year we were told that we were just get, you know, drishti. So then we had a class given by one of the seniors telling us to experiment. that if you would have gone on the stage, you would have got one line blessing, that's all. Now today you experiment, the whole Murli is a blessing for you. And they told us that create blessing with each sentence of the Murli. Each sentence Baba would speak, he's speaking to you personally and transform each version into blessing. And many of them did that. And they came back next day saying, oh, today we got rosary of blessings from Baba. No, there was not the feeling of missing anything. Otherwise, what used to happen, you know, we never used to pay attention to the Murli because we were only waiting when our turn will come. We will wait and see what Baba says to me. Are, the whole Murli Baba is speaking for me only. But we used to miss out. So what I mean to say is whatever Baba speaks in the Murli, actually it is blessing. But then I have to transform it in action. Then you know how it is a blessing. And I'm sure we all have experienced whenever we have used the right point, not repeating verbally. Many times we repeat but we don't use. But when we are using it, we would have found difficult situation, crucifix becoming like a pinprick, impossible like becoming possible. I'm sure you all have experience, you know. If I ask you to share, there will be so many experiences. But what it means is that I am actually, see, when the point is in my intellect, it enlightens my intellect. Of course, it is good. And when you are churning, you are actually becoming like a lighthouse, radiating light. But that is not enough. What I need to conquer Maya, I need might. Light alone will not help me. Light will show me the path to be careful, to walk on the path. But whatever obstacle comes on the way, to overcome that obstacle, what do I need? Might. And where do I get that might from? When I use the knowledge in action, it becomes wisdom. And wisdom is might. So this is what we lack something. You know, we enlighten, we ignite our light with the knowledge that Baba gives. But when there is lack of attention in using into action, we lack power. And that is why sometimes Maya is watching. So when we are little bit careless, Maya extinguishes the lamp. So this is why effort is constant attention. You know, I remember in one Murli Baba said, as we go on the path of knowledge, we don't go into deep sleep, but we take a little nap. And that nap is so dangerous that it makes our light, Maya extinguishes our light at that time. And so our effort, you know, becomes slow. So what is that kind of nap we take? Nap means our intellect gets numb with certain type of thought. That is called nap. When the thought comes in my mind, you know, oh, I have been keeping so much attention on myself. Everything is going on well. Now I am fine. So we begin to take things for granted. That is the nap. So we miss attention. That is the time the intellect become careless. That is the right time Maya takes the chance. And then when we, you know, the numbness is gone, then we regret. I went and did the same mistake again. I thought I had overcome already. So we should never ever allow the thought to take things for granted. Attention at every step. See, up until now, Dadis have so much of attention on themselves. They have made effort for 67 years, you know. But the destination that we are going is very steep. So no matter who it is, so we have to be careful, but not careless. See, when you are careful, you will be carefree. If you divide the word careful means full care, then you will be free from care. If you care less, what will happen? You worry more. So effort, Baba said today, liberated from labor. Labor and effort are two things. Baba did not ask us to stop making effort. Effort has to continue until the last moment. But there should be no labor mixed in it. So labor means feeling hard work. Effort is work hard. Of course, no effort, no luck, no gain, no pain, no pain, no gain. But that effort should not be felt as hard work. You know, some of us Brahmins, when we are making effort, we are so tight, we have so much tension. When other people look at us, they say, oh, I feel so sorry, you are making so much effort. Oh, you look so, you know, so serious, so heavy. So they pity us sometimes. But if I am making effort, why should they pity me? What is effort means? Attention. But I have the tension of keeping attention. That is why other people pity me. But if I have only attention, I will be very happy because I will be aware of my attainments. I will be the embodiment of fortune. So seeing me making effort, others get inspired. I want to become like this one too. That is real effort. When my effort becomes a source of inspiration to others. Like now we want to hear Mama Baba's stories. We want to hear seniors. Why? Because they made effort. So effort should not be based on tension. That is what Baba said. To become liberated from labor, you should be embodiment of all attainments. That means I should keep thinking in my mind, what all the things I have got from Baba as a father, as a teacher, as a Sadguru, make a list. The more you dwell in this journey, the more you embody those attainments. No labor. So sometimes we mix up these two words, you know. We are laboring and we call it effort. So Baba doesn't like us laboring, but Baba inspires us to make effort. So again, Mamma's definition for effort, it has been a definition from the beginning, long, long ago. How do I know I am making effort? Means not to repeat the same mistake twice. All of us are allowed to make mistake once. Because we don't know it is a mistake. But if I do the same mistake second time, that shows I am careless. That shows clearly that I did not realize that it was a mistake last time. I took it for granted. So attention is, I don't do the same thing again. So that means others know that, yes, you have attention on yourself. So again, effort also means actually to make the impossible possible. See, every day I may wake up at Amrit Vela, you know, weather is good, health is good, situations are okay. But now and then we all have test paper. You know, our health is not good, sometimes the weather is not good, sometimes there is no electricity. Many reasons. So I can easily tell myself, what can I do? I cannot get up, I have headache, you know, I cannot do meditation, there is no electricity. I cannot meditate because I don't have a cup of tea today. I have headache. Means, I'm just saying, you know, so many excuses, I can just go to sleep. But that is the time I should take it as an examination day. And I say, no, I am going to do it today. And I'm going to pass this test. So because when I use Baba's, when I follow Baba's direction, then you will see after the time has passed, how much of love and how much of power you feel. So this is why effort is when I make impossible possible. Not giving excuse, but remembering who asked me to do it. Whose direction am I following? You know, sometimes in the Murli, Baba says, if you are sick, you can come and lie down here, you know, listen to the Murli in the center. And even if you leave the body while listening to the Murli, it is your great fortune. But it doesn't happen. Nobody will die like that. But Baba tells to that extent. So we must have that interest, hobby of making effort. No, I remember Dadi Janki said two things always stays in my mind. One is, why did Baba choose me? Out of so many souls in the world, why did Baba choose me to be his child? So whatever he says, if I don't do it, who else will do it? So he has faith in me. He has confidence in me. He chose me. So I am not going to put him down. I will do it. And the second thing she said, when? If I don't do it now, then when? So these two things really help me in my effort. I always tell myself, if Baba has chosen me, knowing that I am the one who will do it. So if I don't do it, who else will do? And second thing is, I have to do it now, now or never. Because good things when we have to do, if we postpone, we will never do it. So that is why when Baba talks about time, you know, very little time left. So often people ask this question, how much time? 2010, 2005, you know. It's not that time. The time that I have for making effort is now. See, the present is in my hand. This moment, that's all. I don't know next moment. But this moment is now. So whatever I have to do for myself, I should do it. Now many times I feel, as far as making self-effort, there is no maryada. There is no restriction. There is no boundaries. You can make as much effort you want. But still we don't do it. Why? Because sometimes, you know, the hobby, the interest for making is lost again due to influence of the company. It is lost. You see, the powers and virtues, whatever you are receiving, you become weak. Then she can wage a war. So whenever you have the thought like, oh, today I don't want to get up in Amritvela, I am very tired and I have to work so hard. Remember, Maya has come. And Dadi Janki calls Amritvela Maya of that kind as a stepmother. You know, sometimes all of us go through these stages, you see. Oh, it's okay, Baba can understand, I am so tired and I have to work hard whole day today. It's okay, Baba, good night, good morning, and I sleep. So Maya is talking to me, my stepmother. She doesn't want me to take the inheritance. So at that time, if you disregard Maya, that thought, you will be experiencing lot of love from Baba. So Maya comes like that. Sometimes Maya comes to separate me from the family. All of a sudden I start getting the thought, oh, Baba says you should be in solitude and you should be in silence and you should be introvert. So now I want to practice that. So I begin to isolate myself from the family. I say, I don't want to come in the gathering. I don't want to come into the family. I don't want to involve myself in service because Maya comes there. You know, so I want to isolate myself. But what yoga can you have? Family is the greatest protection, isn't it? So if the thought comes for me to separate myself from the family, remember Maya is trying to take your support. So at that time, I should do against to Maya's thought. The intellect should work precisely, not going according to that. So this is why I said, if you want to take care of your intellect, you should look at yourself and you should look at Baba only. Nobody else in between. The moment I bring the third person, my third eye will not work precisely. This is the mistake we do many times, you know. Because if you keep looking at yourself and if you constantly keep looking at Baba, there will be no distraction. So your intellect will be able to work precisely. Sometimes, say, for example, I cannot understand why I cannot discriminate properly, discern properly. So if I cannot, I should take help from someone who is more experienced so that I am able to clear my intellect and make it like transparent, you know, magnificent glass so that I am able to see things as they are. Otherwise, I will be carrying burden. You know, when an intellect has burden on it, so it cannot discriminate properly. You know, some people are compassionate, but they are compassionate to such an extent, they take on other people's sorrow on themselves in the form of helping them. But that kind of mercy is no good. That is Maya's mercy. If you become heavy, affected by other people's sorrow and difficulty in the name of helping, the mercy that I am showing to them is not accurate. What happens is, I make that soul depend on me, and that soul pull me towards itself, draw from me as much as they want, and leave me alone empty. So it is important to have compassion and mercy, but not to that extent that you allow other souls to draw from you instead of Baba, you know. How do we show wrong mercy on others? Like when someone is doing something wrong, instead of guiding them in the right way, which is called mercy, but we show wrong mercy by feeling pity on them. So those souls are already weak anyway. And when you begin to have pity on them, they feel like you are their God. And they will try to lean on you. And they will make you as their support, and you are in trouble. You know, we don't have unlimited energy, you see. And so when they begin to draw from me, and at that time I begin to feel what is happening, you know, but it is too late. So this is why it is important to have mercy, but not Maya's mercy, but accurate mercy based on knowledge, so that I am able to help and then disappear, connect their intellect with Baba, so that I will not come in between. So I remember someone was telling in one of the classes, which I liked very much, you know, why is that sometimes we do not feel Baba touching my intellect? Because my intellect is already touched by some human touch. So I have to keep my intellect untouched by human. Because Baba is also, he also is choosy, you know, he doesn't just touch anyone's intellect. When my intellect is untouched, that means even through my thought, I do not touch someone with any impure thought. One is indulging in action, but even in having thought, that is not being loyal. That is not being faithful. So, just like a broken image is never used for worshipping in the temple. They are kept in the museum as a, you know, as a statue, but not worshipped. So, even in bhakti, they have so much of significance. To touch the image in the temple, that image has to be complete. Otherwise, they won't put the image in the temple to worship. And if I want to be seated on Baba's heart, if I want to be touched by God, it's only the business of the intellect, isn't it? So I should really take care of my intellect to such an extent that there is just one Baba and none other. So this is why admiration is okay, appreciation is okay, acknowledgement is okay, but getting impressed is a great vice, which is due to lack of purity. So this is why I have to allow my intellect to be influenced by God. So an intellect which is influenced by God constantly becomes really an image of God. So that is why when you look at angels, how do you describe them? See, angels are not God. They are not even human beings, right? But who are they? They give God's message. So angels are human in form, but godly in nature. That is why without speech, they influence human beings through their subtle presence. It is the wonder of their intellect. So that means they are not just in love with God, but they have fallen in love with God. Their love for God is exclusive. And to such an extent, no one is included. And you can see the message that they bring to God, God's message in a subtle form. That is why they are called protectors, messengers, sons of God, intersection between God and human, whatever. So this is where I was thinking since I heard the slogan. You know, we make gross effort keeping checking on physical things we do, whether we wake up Amrit Vela morning, meditation, we listen to the Murli, we did any sins or not, we gave sorrow or not. Yeah, that is also okay. But now, according to the present time, as the time is moving faster, our effort has to be subtle. So I need to have subtle checking. What is my level of mental purity? Dadi was talking to the Call of Time people the other day. And one person asked this question to Dadi, what is purity? And Dadi gave simple definition. You know, purity means no four things. Why, what, how, who? No question mark. Because question mark means waste thought. Waste thought means no purity. And she also talked about purity means being honest to the self, being faithful in relationship, having integrity in our interaction with others. Because it shows purity in action practically. So my chart now should be based on my level of purity, my divinity of my intellect. How I'm using the gift that Baba has given to me as my birthday gift. So if my intellect is constantly following Srimad, that is a sign of a divine intellect. And if that is the case, there will be no regret. You know, if I am using my divine intellect, there will be no regret, no question mark. So I need to check where my intellect goes, why it goes, what is it that I have not attained from Baba. I have to bring back. So what I would like to suggest is before Bhavdada comes, you know, make your intellect so subtle and so clear that every second of Baba's presence, you can able to catch the message that Baba is going to give. Because before even Baba begins to speak, Baba is giving a lot of blessings through his drishti. Why he spends so long, nearly 15 minutes giving drishti, actually he is speaking in silence. So if my intellect is clear and clean, I am able to catch that blessings that is Baba coming from Baba's eyes. And those blessings that we receive in silence, it's going to be imprinted in our hearts. We may forget the words of the Murli later. But this is my experience, you know, the one eye contact that we make and the feelings that you receive cannot be forgotten. So this is why anything that is stopping you from that clarity of intellect, purity of mind, within the few days, this is why we have everyday evening bhaktis. So we can throw the dirt into the bhakti and let it burn. You know, write it to Baba, say it to Baba, become light, don't carry burden. You know, because Baba says, I am your obedient servant, I am asking you to give me all your burdens. Anything that I am carrying on my intellect, that's not allowing me to fly, that is not allowing me to make fast effort, let me, you know, humbly, honestly give it to Baba. So on the day when Baba comes, you will be able to, you know, make your vessel so clean, like a golden vessel, then you can hold everything. And try this time. As you listen to the Murli, as we experimented few years ago, it was a very good exercise. Each version that Baba speaks, transform it into blessing. And count how many blessings you got from the Murli this time. You know, it feels like so rich. Baba is talking to me. That is why we always suggest people when you are sitting in front of Baba, don't write at that time. But look and listen and absorb. Transform it in your mind. Don't start writing it at that time because you will be getting the Murli later. But experience it as a blessing coming from the bestower of blessing. Then when you walk around, when you move around, when others will look into your eyes, they will receive what you have got from Baba. That's what we feel when Dadis, you know, meet Baba on the stage. But then when we meet Dadis, Dadis give us the same sustenance that they have received through Baba's drishti, through their drishti for us. And when we go to our countries, we are the only ones for the people there. They wouldn't meet Dadis, you know. So whatever you capture in your drishti, so when you go and give drishti to them, that is what they get. So that is why, once again, I would like to underline this point that in this Brahmin life, our intellect is really a valuable asset. So don't allow it to be influenced. Don't allow it to be impressed. Don't suppress. So let it grow naturally so that it's able to catch, you know, whatever Baba is giving and hold it so that we are able to use it at the right time in the right way. And every day when you listen to the Murli, listen with that attention also that I will count today how many times I used the right point of the Murli in the right way. So how that many blessings I have accumulated. That means that many blessings others have received. As a result of others receiving blessings, I myself, you know, when you keep on receiving blessings from others, your effort is no more effort. It becomes like moving in the lift, not climbing the staircase. So in that way, our Brahmin life becomes a life free from labor. And no one should say when they see us making effort, they shouldn't feel pity on us. They should really get inspired. So for that, we should always keep in our mind what we are attaining. You know, when you always remember your fortune, when you always remember your attainments, that intoxication and happiness on the sparkle on the face will inspire others. So Madhubani is mine for everything, mine of experiences, mine of treasures, mine of discoveries, exploration. And you all have the opportunity to stay here, you know. So as Dadi was saying, there is no other groups here. You can make whatever personal effort you want before Bapdada comes. So make use of every moment as a treasure. And then we may not realize it here, but then as we return to our places, when we sit and look back, then we start to admire, you know, how much we have got. So just that appreciation for what opportunity Baba has given to us. Is there any question anybody would like to ask? Yes. Compassion actually is to know what the person is going through and see it to help them without taking that sorrow into my life. Usually people, whilst giving help, they also take a sorrow and make it as a part of their life. So that is not real compassion. Compassion is to show them the right thing to do. Not to take sorrow, but remove the sorrow of that person without becoming sorrowful myself. Otherwise, I need somebody else to help me. So what did I do, no? Pity is actually drawing other people's attention towards myself, you know, pity. Like many people, they want self-pity. And so they make up, you know, like when they are sick, it may be pain, maybe this much, but they will so, the pain is so much so that other people can say, oh, don't worry, everything will be okay. You're okay, Baba is looking. So they feel like they get self-pity attention. No, when some people are sick, actually, pain is not so much. When nobody goes to visit them, the feeling is, oh, nobody cares for me, I'm left alone. That pain is more than the pain they have. So when somebody will go and say, oh, okay, how are you? Everything will be okay, don't worry. They feel like they got the self-pity attention. So, of course, we need to do our duty, but not allowing people to depend on those things. Because it will draw my energy, you know. So I am not connecting them to Baba. That's why I remember Dadi Janki always says when she is sick, actually nobody has the courage to go and ask her how is she, because she doesn't make, you know, other people know that she has a pain or anything like that so that we can go and have some pity. She always advises that when you are sick, you should be in such a way that other people should not remind you to remember God. But when they see you, they are reminded to remember God. Which that should be the way what we are serving. Even while settling, we are creating our fortune then. Anything else? Anybody? Yeah, if there is no mercy, there cannot be compassion. Of course, mercy is the quality. Compassion is the virtue. Mercy is the quality out of which comes compassion and kindness. Of course, you know, if there is no compassion, where is the humanity? Humanity is expressed through compassion and kindness. But then it does not mean that I draw other people towards myself and allow them to drain me in the name of compassion and kindness. Yes, in my mind I have good wishes for them, pure feelings, I don't have any hatred. So that is also a form of compassion, no? Like now, for the whole world, we can't do anything, we can't go there, we cannot help them, but we have love. If you don't have love, neither you can have compassion nor mercy. So because we have love for souls as our brothers, so we send our good wishes and sympathy, feeling of, you know, love, express it in that way. So that is also a form of compassion. You take your time out and do that mental service of sending out that good wishes, even though they may not have done anything to you, or even though they may have done something bad to you, but not keeping that in my heart. But I still open my heart to send that pure energy. So that is compassion too. Because see, when it is soul conscious, when we are soul conscious, that is when my head and the heart can be balanced. So the moment the consciousness slips, there is duality begins. So the, my mind is influenced by my subconscious mind. So my intellect, you know, is not clear at that time. So neither I can follow my conscious mind nor my subconscious mind. So I am in duality. So that is why the best thing is to go back to the roots. Why this is happening? Because I have forgotten myself. So one is enlightenment, what I was mentioning, is having the knowledge in my intellect. But to walk in wisdom, wisdom in action, is to use that enlightenment into action. That is when, you know, your light can spread out into the world, practically. So that is why it is important to keep the balance. So again and again, going back to the roots are important, soul consciousness. I was talking about intellect, you know, sometimes our intellect is blank, you know. So when my intellect is blank, like, it means like anything and everything can occupy. But when my intellect is plain, it is plain, but it is full. So nothing else can come there. That's why I said, plain intellect means one Baba and another. That means I have made Baba my world. So the whole world is occupying my intellect. So nothing else can come. But when that plainness is not there, when the blankness means like idle mind is devil's workshop, so many other things can come. That is when the confusion, you know, overlapping of the intellect, I cannot discriminate, I cannot discern. So that is a sign of not having a plain intellect. It's blank. I cannot understand myself, I cannot understand others. You know, like a fuse out. So that is confused state, is a blank intellect. Okay.